morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Also online at WFIWradio.com. Appreciate everybody listening however you can. It's been kind of a fun fest-centered week here today on the Bruce Dickey Show. Talked to Carrie Halbert a couple of days ago about the chamber tent. Got a chance to talk to Stan Garner and Brad Jessup yesterday about the rest of the entertainment at the Fall Fun Fest this week and weekend. And today I get the chance to talk to Tom Baker coming down from Salem about the Mardi Gras Brass playing tonight here at the Fall Fun Fest on the main stage at 7 o'clock at the Fun Fest tonight. It's the Mardi Gras Brass. Tom, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you for asking me, Dave.
You bet. I'm glad you made the drive. So now you've made the drive down from Salem one time. So does that mean you're going to stay in town all day and go hang around and talk to folks, or are you going to head back to Salem and come back, and what are you doing?
I might hang around just a while, but I got to head back and pick up the
go
other
by the
car.
Coffee shop?
Yeah, I'll go by the coffee shop for sure. that's a big stop.
That's right.
In fact, that's the main thing, but life's blood.
As you're a retired man, you got to, and I'm getting closer. I just had a birthday this week, so I'm getting closer and closer to retirement all the time. You need a little caffeine to kick to get you going.
Sure.
Tom is here with the Mardi Gras Brass. They're playing tonight at 7 o'clock in downtown. Tell me a little bit about the Mardi Gras Brass. What is somebody going to find when they come to the show tonight?
We were talking about this just a little while ago, you and I. The band was started around 2008, right after I retired from teaching. And I've always had a love for Dixieland jazz.
Yeah.
Some people call it traditional jazz, whatever. New Orleans jazz.
Yeah.
It's happy toe-tapping music.
Sure.
And that means it's a lot of fun to play as well as a lot of fun to listen
to. Okay.
So we decided to take that concept and go with it. Of course, I've...
We being whom?
Well, there's several musician friends around here. A current Fairfield legend, Dean Mounts, coined the name for the musicians of Southern Illinois, Sigma Pi.
Oh, really?
Let's see, Southern Illinois' Greatest Musicians.
Association?
Association, right.
Okay.
And couldn't think of anything pie, but we all like to eat pie, so, you know, that's where that came from. But there's several of us that play in different groups over at the Kaskaskia College and things like that. And
wait a second. So you're telling me, we'll get back to the story. Whenever all you old musicians, I didn't mean to just call you an old musician. Whenever the musicians all sit around and hang out together, you basically sit around figuring out ways you can figure out new ways to play new stuff together, right?
Yeah, right. I got to keep busy, you know. Kick around music. If you don't kick around music, you're not kicking around anything, and that's not good.
Well, I guess that's true. That's exactly
for a musician,
right.
Right.
That's exactly right. So you got to start kicking around. You know, let's think about this. Dixieland jazz.
You guys like to play Dixieland? Ever thought about playing a Dixieland group? And the unique thing about the Mardi Gras brass is that it's brass. A lot of Dixieland groups have a clarinet, you know, and a saxophone maybe.
Right.
At the time we put it together, we didn't find any clarinet or saxophone people that were really interested in playing Dixieland. So we kind of developed the concept of, well, let's see if we can do it with brass instruments.
Right.
And that's how it came about, and it's been a fun trip. It's a little bit different sound, but it's got that same jazz flavor.
And one of the interesting things that folks will find from your show, as opposed to, the brass quintet that we play there, the Roasted Chestnuts, as opposed to that, you add string plus drum.
Yep, we have we use drums for rhythm, and then I play I play what they call a banjotar. It's a 6-string banjo.
Really.
Built like a banjo with the skin head on it or the plastic head on it and that type of thing, so it sounds like a banjo.
Yeah.
But I can play it like a guitar because that's what I learned to play and that's what I was really used to.
You plug that in?
Plug it in. I can plug it in so you can be heard. You can't fight brass instruments unless you get an amplifier.
Well, I was wondering if you plugged it in, could play it like an electric guitar.
Yeah, yeah. I use a little amplifier with it and just like electric guitar, but it still has a good banjo
a good twang?
Sound. Yeah, it has a twang to it.
Well, you see, I've seen you guys before, but I don't guess I noticed that last time I saw you play.
Those instruments, it's not a
real step.
Well, it's it came about several years ago, but when on a couple of my trips down to New Orleans, I used to see him sneaking into bands down there where guys would play a guitar. When they wanted to play a traditional tune, they pick up a banjo, and I noticed it had six strings. So yeah. I started asking around. They're called a banjitar, and it's become a pretty popular instrument if you double on strings.
Tell me a little bit about how you fell in love with Dixieland jazz. Tell me about your trips to New Orleans.
Dixieland has been something I've been in love with since I started with music. That was the kind of jazz
I played. How'd you start in music?
Well, I started music in third grade with a guy that's kind of a legend around Salem, Illinois, a guy by the name of Gene Steinman was my grade school band teacher. And he's the one I credit for getting me into the business. He lit the fire in me.
Right.
Discovered I had a little talent and developed that and made me want to do it more. He played the swing style, but I listened to people like Al Hurt, Pete Fountain on the radio, and of course, Satchmo, Louis Armstrong. And that was the kind of music I kind of liked.
Yeah.
As I got older and went to college and studied music more, I got into some different kinds of jazz. But it always came back to that happy sound, that's a soulful type sound.
Tell me about the we may as well give folks a little background on you. You taught for how long at Salem? You're retired now.
Yeah, I'm retired now. I retired in 2008. I started teaching at Salem at Franklin Park School, the middle school there, in 1988. I put in 20 years there. And I had taught in Indiana. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I had taught in Indiana after I graduated from college for about 5 years. So I had 25 years of teaching under my belt and when I retired. And that was a good experience. I moved back to Salem because my folks at that time, both of them passed, but at that time they were getting older, and I'm an only child, so I needed to be around to kind of help them out a little bit.
Yeah, I see you're wearing the headsets. Sometimes the guests in here do and do not wear the headsets. As a former grade school band director, the headset might be required for you. How's your hearing?
My hearing is... that's a good point. That's a good point. I think a lot of band directors keep the earplug people in business. I know several band directors now. I used them occasionally.
That's a good question. I've always wondered because I know Curry Baker. I don't think he did. I don't remember if he did or not as a band teacher. I know that Merle Newcomb should have. Merle Newcomb went deaf as a post.
I know.
What do you find when you run into old band directors? What do you find? Is that like say you have a cocktail party, Tom? I'm talking with Tom Baker about Mardi Gras brass, but we're talking about all kinds of stuff. Say you have a cocktail party of old retired band directors. Is it like the loudest room in history? Because people just trying to get heard?
Yeah, it pretty much is. Everybody, it's when you teach, all the kids want to come in and they want to play their horns. All they want to do is play their horns. Yeah. So they come and they all start playing. And you're holding your ears and everything. Of course, trying to get them to play their horns to practice at home, they don't want to. You get a bunch of old band directors together and they all have to talk and play at the same time. Everybody asks all the brass have to see how high they can play.
Well, I was going to say, also as old band directors, probably they're all bragging.
But none like the trumpet players. Trumpet players have kind of a reputation for being
really.
Yeah, that's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's.
I didn't know.
Most other brass players do.
Most other brass players figure out the trumpet players are pretty. They're pretty proud. Let's put it that way. How's that go? I'm talking with Tom Baker. He's with the Mardi Gras Brass, and we're going to talk about the show that they're putting on tonight here at the Fun Fest. Should be just an outstanding show if you think you've been to the Roasted Chestnuts and this is just another deal like that. No, it's not. This is that plus plenty more. And we'll be back to talk a little bit more with Tom about the show tonight, as well as a little bit more about Mardi Gras and jazz music, the brass music all together, Dixieland jazz all together. When we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words, you're listening to AM 1390 WFIW in Fairfield and WFIW FM 104.9. Back in a sec. Thank you. Well, folks, welcome back to WFIW. This is Bruce Dickey, the Bruce Dickey Show, here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Got a guest in the studio today. It's Mr. Tom Baker. He's the one of the coordinators and director and lead only guitar player, or guitar slash banjo. Banjitar?
Banjitar, right.
Banjitar player. Do you have a banjo, too, in addition to the banjitar?
I've got one at home, but I got a regular banjo, but you have to do, the chords are a little bit different on banjo, and I just wasn't as fluent with the other set of chords. And when this banjitar came along, I picked it up, so I'm used to the chords, and it plays a little easier for
also
me.
Also, with the banjo, and I'm wondering if with the banjitar, banjo, you see guys play that with the two metal picks connected to their fingers. They're attached to their fingers. Do you use that on the banjitar? How's that
No,
work?
You can. I don't use any finger picking. I usually use a strum.
Oh, I see.
The Dixieland jazz style was a small four-string banjo.
Yeah, tell people what the Dixieland jazz style is.
That was a small four-string banjo, not a five-string like you see with bluegrass, but a four-string banjo. And most of it was strumming and playing chords as opposed to playing a single string melody and all that. So he used a flat pick usually, that type of thing, you know. Some of the guys can play just really wild, get up all down the neck playing chords, and it almost sounds like a piano. They're so great at it.
That's amazing. So you've run into that. That's probably where you fell in love with, you said, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah. That's where I first saw this instrument called a banjitar. Was down in New Orleans. I saw some of the guys that set down their guitar and pick up a banjo and play, but I noticed it had six strings on it. So, of course, being a little bit curious about music, I asked some questions.
Now, without telling everybody what you're going to play tonight, what kind of songs, it's when you look at New Orleans-style Dixieland jazz, you know you're going to hear When the Saints Come Marching In, that kind of thing.
Well,
I'm presuming you're playing that.
Yeah, we will play that tonight.
All right.
I'm going to guess
maybe an Amazing Grace or something like that.
We'll do, I'm not sure if we're using Amazing Grace, but we've got some similar things to that. There's some things typical of the Dixieland bands that we'll put together like that.
Have you done your set list, or will it be something if tonight, as the night is wearing on, you'll kind of feel what the audience is in the mood for?
Well, I've got a set list. It's always a good idea to have that. But we'll have our whole book with it. So if we get a request or something and it's possible to do it, sure, we'll play it for them.
Will you vary? Yeah.
Yeah. The tunes are varied. There's slow music, there's fast music, a little bit of everything. One of the nice things about the Dixieland genre is that it's been used through the ages. The Tijuana Brass, for example, had kind of a Dixieland flavor to their music. Louis Armstrong,
Dixieland kind of mixed in with mariachi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Louis Armstrong, you know, has recorded tunes that are had recorded tunes like Hello Dolly that was done in Dixieland style. It's not an old tune at all. It is old, but it's not like back from traditional jazz. So there's been a lot of music through the ages. The nice thing about Dixieland, you can play any peppy song. You can play a good country tune within Dixieland style.
See, now that's the coolest. I got to agree with you, Tom. We play a version. Somebody put together a version of "Nearer My God to Thee" that in a little quick little Dixieland type of thing. That is the funnest thing in the world, you know. And it's "Nearer My God to Thee" may not be considered the most peppy tune. What do you think about it?
No, but it can be done.
Yeah, and that really is the joy of that. Okay, so if folks are coming tonight, they can expect what?
You'll be toe tapping. You listen. There's some space there. You probably, if you want to get up and dance, you could.
Cool.
You know, we just want people to relax and enjoy themselves. That's what it is. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful evening.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we'll be doing. We'll be enjoying ourselves.
Tell us a little bit about you were there for the formation of the band. Tell us a bit about putting together the group and about some of the instrumentalists.
We needed to, of course, you always have trumpet in Dixieland.
Right.
And since I could play banjo or guitar.
Did you learn how to play banjo or before or after the trumpet?
Oh, after. I started trumpet when I was in third grade. I started playing guitar, I guess, when I was a freshman or sophomore in high school.
Okay, I got to know why.
Because rock and roll was in.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Rock and roll was in. And girls paid more attention to guitar players at Wiggled than trumpet players.
I see, so that
was the whole thing.
Sure.
You know, that was, you know, that you, and you got to play guitar a lot. I had one experience in high school where this cute young girl that I knew asked me to her party, and I was just all up in the air. She asked me to her party.
That's nice.
Last thing she said was, "Bring your guitar." And I ended up playing guitar. She talked to all the other guys. I had to play guitar, you know?
Yeah. Well, you see, you know, that's kind of the other thing I noticed when I was in college. We had a piano player, mm-hmm, in the band, or electric keyboard player, I guess you would call it. And he was not a very good-looking guy. He was just, you know, homely, and he'd say nice things about me, I'm sure, but... He's not a good-looking guy, but everybody, all the girls, talk to him, and I that's when I realized I should have taken. Whenever mom or dad suggested lessons for the piano, I should have said, "Yeah, that sounds like a good idea," but never really thought about it. Okay, so you're putting the band together, and you've decided that you need trumpet players, but you're going
to
play banjo.
Yeah, I need to play banjo because we didn't have anybody else in the group that could really do that. So a good friend of mine, Len Campbell, that played a lot of music with, good trumpet player.
Uh-huh.
So we put him on trumpet.
Len's played with us. He does a nice job.
Yeah, he's a good trumpet player.
Very smooth.
Of course, you need a trombone, a slush pump, slip horn, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Our trombone player is Bill Reynolds from over at Mount Vernon.
Bill plays over here in the city band from time to time.
That's right. And very good trombone player. And then you need a tuba player, of course.
Sure.
Gentleman named
Everybody needs a tuba player.
Everybody needs a tuba player. You got to have one around the house.
That's exactly right. I've got four.
Guy named Paul McCormick from
Mount
Vernon.
Does a great job. Yeah.
Plays tuba with us.
And see, you know, the thing is, also, Paul, I don't know if he does it in your group, but doesn't he also play the bass guitar?
He plays electric bass. Now, he won't have the electric bass with him tonight.
Oh, okay.
The big band, we use that. But we decided this is going to be our Dixieland show. We're going to use – we'll play a couple of swing-type tunes,
mm-hmm,
but we're going to do them with our instrumentation.
Oh, okay.
And that's a nice little twist to do with the Dixieland band. Let's see. We needed Fairfield's own Dean Mouts,
right,
plays trumpet and what we call a flugelhorn. It's kind of like an overweight trumpet,
well,
an oversized
trumpet. You were talking about the Tijuana Brass.
Yeah, right.
They had the flugelhorn, right?
Yeah, they did. They did occasionally use those with their group. That has a more mellow sound, and he usually plays the part that normally like a tenor saxophone would play in the Dixieland group.
Okay.
And that fills that out. Then we needed a little something to sound like a clarinet with a high-pitched sound doodling around in here. And John Upcraft from Mount Vernon plays what we call an E-flat cornet. It's like a trumpet, except it's built in a different key, so it has a higher pitch.
Is that kind of like what A-Man plays from time to time, the little piccolo trumpet?
It's similar.
Not as small, though.
Yeah, it's in between. A piccolo trumpet is exactly an octave higher than a regular trumpet.
Okay.
The E-flat cornet or E-flat trumpet is in the middle someplace. Has a little bit.
So the E-flat cornet, he's going to be able to play some. John can play anything.
Yeah.
But he'll be able to play some of the stuff that you would typically have, like a Benny Goodman type of sound.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Wow.
And that's a group. Of course, then we have a set of drums.
Yeah.
A fellow named Tom Champion's playing drums with us this evening. Excellent drummer. And so there's seven of us. I think I caught everybody there. Yeah, I did.
I'm sitting here doing the math.
Yeah, doing the math, making sure I didn't leave anybody out. And then we got a special surprise. I talked about some of the swing numbers we're going to do with the Dixieland instruments.
Well, nice. Are you going to give away the surprise now? You've got a vocalist, I'm assuming.
We have a guest vocalist singing with us for a couple of numbers.
I'm only making a presumption here that your arranger might have set up the the guest vocalist, right?
Yep. You got it.
Well, you see, now that's the thing. She has a beautiful voice.
She does. She's a great singer. And I know she's getting pretty well known.
Oh, really?
Around Fairfield area, at least. I know that she, I think she's, they...
Sang with the city band.
Yeah, sings the city band and sings with the churches here in town often and things like that. And then she has done work with us before with the big band that we used to run and and
we're talking about Barb Rumbold, ladies and gentlemen, if you hadn't figured it out yet.
Right.
Dean's daughter.
Yeah.
A professionally trained. That's the thing. You see folks who get up and sing with a group from time to time. I mean, you, for that matter, sing with your group with the King City Swing. And will you be doing any singing tonight?
Yeah, I got a couple of vocals on the ticket for tonight.
Tell me the difference between somebody who's professionally trained and really good like Barb, as opposed to somebody like, no offense, yourself. Let's see, what do they say on television?
First
nights?
Of all
due respect.
First of all, she's a heck of a lot better looking than I am.
I'll buy that.
There's a big discussion that goes on about professionally trained. A lot of parents won't let their kids take formal lessons if they're into the country music genre or the rock and roll genre. They don't want to take lessons because they feel it's going to ruin their sound, which it won't do. The advantage of being professionally trained, and I had some vocal lessons also. The advantage is you learn how to produce a tone so that you don't wear out your voice or cause your voice harm. But you can still sing in any style you want to.
Right.
And that's what's great about Barb. She has the ability. She produces a good sound, but man, she knows how to make a song swing.
That sounds good
when she phrases it right. It sounds good when she sings.
That's right. And she has a nice natural voice to start
with.
Yes,
she does.
A nice natural singing voice to start with, and can. Doggone, get up to those high notes.
Yes.
See, you're also kind of trained, I guess, whenever with the professional singing training. I watched the documentary the other day, a couple of weeks ago, on the Frank Sinatra. Did you see the All or Nothing at All documentaries?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Weren't those something?
Yes.
They were special.
I'm not a TV person necessarily, but I was glued to those.
Oh, it really was.
I was glued to those.
The discussion of... They probably spent 10 or 15, 20 minutes in those documentaries, I think, about his training methods.
Right.
With the fellow first in New York City, and then I'm trying to remember who he went with out in the... He kept getting trained throughout his life.
Yes. It never stopped. And it was interesting to hear him say that when he was young and started out, he found out he could get some attention. And I remember he said the first time he sang, he sounded like a... I can't remember what he compared it to. It was squawking and squealing, you know.
Like a rooster or something like that.
But he found out he could get some attention that way and decided he wanted to do it. And then it wasn't too long before he decided that if he really was going to do something with it, he had to get some training.
Right.
And he started seeking, and like you say, throughout his life. I think we all do that. I don't take lessons from anybody anymore, but I haven't played with many musicians that I didn't learn something from just by playing along.
Well, just the osmosis, actually, of playing with somebody who's really good. Like the tuba player from Fairfield, who is down in Alabama, runs a South Alabama, I think it's the band program in South Alabama, is Andy Miller.
Yeah.
And he comes back here and he'll play like once every 3 or 4 years. And I just sit there next to a tuba player. And I sit there and I just watch him and say, even though I play, you know, I've played for 40 years, 35 years, I'm learning something every time I sit next to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the joys of doing the music. I'm talking here to Tom Baker with the Mardi Gras Brass. They are playing tonight at the Fairfield Fall Fun Fest at 7:00. We've talked about a couple of the tunes that they're going to go with, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that, and I also want to get into the swing stuff. We haven't talked about that. As the King City Swing, he's the leader of the King City Swing. We'll talk a little bit about that, and plus a lot more when we return on the Bruce Dickey Show. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 WFIW FM and 104.9 FM here in Fairfield. We'll be back after these.
signature Dixieland sound.
That's a Dixieland sound. That's a nice little fun Dixieland sound. I could have. I didn't think to get the one with the banjo behind it. But, yeah. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined by Tom Baker. He's with Mardi Gras Brass, and they're playing tonight at the Fall Fun Fest, starting at 7 o'clock down there on the main stage. Should be just an outstanding night. Should be beautiful weather. Going to be a great night for a show, and I hope everybody can go out and watch them. But not only do you play at the Mardi Gras Brass, You also are behind a couple other groups, aren't you?
Yes. We're with the Mardi Gras Brass a lot, but we've developed a new little group called the Little Big Band.
The Little Big Band. Yeah. Tell me about the Little Big Band.
Well, we added a piano player. Basically, it's the guys in the Mardi Gras Brass. We added a piano player, and we add a few more of Barbara's vocals to it.
Uh-huh.
And we play pretty strictly the old Benny Goodman, Glenn Miller swing style music.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you and I were just talking about it a little bit. The reason we can do that is because of this fabulous arranger we got in this area, Dean Mounts.
Yeah, we were talking over the break about just what a treasure Dean Mounts is to the area. We had, of course, they had Dean Mounts Day a couple of years ago here in Fairfield, and we all hope that Dean realizes how much he is. How much he is treasured and beloved in this town.
Oh, yes.
Not just in this town, but throughout Southern Illinois.
The whole area, right. He's well-known, the whole area.
Especially because he plays with everybody.
He plays Nolly. He plays over at Evansville. He
plays in Effingham.
Effingham, yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about the little big band. Where do you guys play?
Well, it kind of came about to put that kind of sound together to play at the dance hall down at Whittington. So we played a few dates there. Now,
Which one is it down there? Which one's the dance hall?
It's called the Corner Dance Hall.
Oh, okay.
In Whittington. Whittington's a little town that most people around here
on 37.
Yeah, on 37, just north of Benton, and it's a very small town, but they've got this large.
You north or south of the winery?
It's
very close.
It's south of the winery. You turn off to Whittington before you get back to the. If you come off that exit off of 57, you go to Whittington before you turn back to the winery.
I think. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's further south.
How often do you guys get together there?
We usually get there about once a month. We're going to take a little vacation from that and doing it once a month because schedules are getting so with the guys that are playing. It's hard to schedule anything on a regular basis.
Who'd you add on the piano?
We have used several different piano players.
You ever get Courtney?
Courtney Cox played for us a couple of gigs. We've got a lady from Salem, Barbara Roberts, that plays all styles of piano, does them well. Cheryl Herman has played a couple of those with us. Cheryl is a pretty well-known piano player and music director from she and her husband are pretty popular in the music set around the Benton area.
How often are you able to get in their fiddle player over near St. Louis? Is Polly play with you very often?
Polly plays with us occasionally. Now, Courtney has a little group now that's playing some, and I noticed that they played down at Carbondale a couple of nights there.
Courtney had his little group that was playing every Saturday night in Benton, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm trying to remember the name of them.
It was called the Rainmakers.
That's right.
Uh-huh. We played... We had one Saturday night a month during the summer at the Fish Company restaurant there in Benton. A very good place. This last summer, Courtney was so busy and the rest of us were busy, we just didn't try to do it. We couldn't schedule it. But Polly is playing with him in a small group. I know they've been doing some jobs around. She's in Mount Vernon now.
Oh, she is?
And, she's done a couple of CDs on her own, which are fabulous. She's a little bit into the pop, kind of a hip-hop type sound.
Really? On a violin.
On violin and very creative. She's got some CDs out. It's Polly Lene. You can look her up on Facebook. You can find her there, but she's playing at different places.
Yeah.
Polly's an excellent musician. She's played orchestras, I've done orchestra performances with her. She plays bluegrass. She does gospel. And then her own little style of pop music that she does. Very creative.
Are you able to get the King City Swing back together very much?
Not very much.
That's a big band, man. That must be tough.
Well, it's there's a lot of logistics. It's not the fact that we don't like to play. A couple of the guys that were staunch members with us have left us now or are gone. A couple of them have moved away. We've had a couple that have passed away that used to play with us. They were from a very wide area. We had people coming over from Highland to play and up from West Frankfort.
Yeah. And see, the folks here in Fairfield might remember the King City Swing played here a few times.
Fairfield was very good to us. We enjoyed playing here as much as any place we ever played.
Yeah.
Every time we played here, we had a good crowd and it was well received.
Yeah.
John Upcraft and Hank Villani put that group together out of Mount Vernon, and I was the front man for it.
You just happened to be able to talk.
Yeah.
You realize that's the only reason I'm still in roasted chestnuts.
There was another reason for me, though. If they put me anyplace else in the band except the front, nobody could see me. You may have to explain this. Where's the camera? This is radio.
If you look at me and Tom standing together, you'll see the difference between the two. How about that? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, let's leave it there.
The King City Swing, but do they ever get back together? When's the last able to play?
We haven't a long time. The book's still together and everything.
How's Randy Grounds doing? He moved to Texas, didn't he?
Randy Atkinson.
For the folks who might remember some of the players in the King City Swing.
Yeah. Fine trombone player. Excellent trombone player. He's moved to Texas. Austin is where he's living. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing. I know he was looking forward to getting down there. They have some excellent college music programs down there, and he's not in college, of course, but they have combined groups that are combined, you know, community.
Tom, with him gone, are you able to play your weekly gig that you had going at Applebee's?
No, we haven't. We haven't done that.
I didn't know if you'd been able to find somebody to replace him.
No, he had all the music and the CDs.
Leave you copies?
No, he didn't leave me copies.
Well, that's too bad.
Well, they were going to discontinue. It was kind of amusing. The night that we were kind of dreading that we'd have to tell the manager that Randy was leaving town and was moving away and that would be our last night, the assistant manager walked up to us and he was equally regretting the fact he was going to have to tell us that the head boss from the district or whatever had come by and said, no more entertainment at Applebee's. We're going back to being last. So everybody breathed easy.
I was going to say, who broke the ice? Hey, I got some bad news. No, I got some bad news. That's yeah, great. Well, see, it all works out better.
Oh, yeah.
It all works out well.
That was a good gig. We developed a lot of friendships. People came back to hear us and everything. Randy's an excellent musician. We had a lot of fun doing that. Just the two of us had a kind of a... it's almost like karaoke, a CD background behind us, you know.
Now that was the thing. The night or two that I came in and saw you play, you took a lot more requests that night than you will tonight.
Yeah. I'm not saying that we won't take requests tonight, but we do have a set program.
Sure.
And we try to keep it moving. I try to inject a little humor in what I talk and tell the guys usually tell me I need to eject it. But, you know, we try to keep the program going and all that.
I've got a fellow who has asked us for years to play Blue Danube, and we have never played it. If he came up to ask to you guys to play that, would you be able to, da, 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 da?
Well, we could play the first part of
it. Yeah, that's about it.
But I'll tell you what. If Dean is listening to the program this morning, I would be willing to bet by tomorrow he'll call me and say, hey, Tom, I have an arrangement of Blue Danube.
You see, now that's the great thing about Dean.
I know.
He'll tell you, if you ask him to arrange something, he'll say, well, I'm pretty busy. I've got a lot of things going. I don't know if I'll be able to get to this. And then he brings it to the next rehearsal.
Right. But that's what he does. He gets so much enjoyment. He sets at the computer and he just turns these things out, and they sound amazing when he turns them out. You know.
Well, and you'll be using a lot of his arrangements tonight, and I would
say at least 80% of what we'll play tonight are his arrangements. I have a few things that I originally had when I started the group already, but most of the stuff that we've got are done by Dean.
Right. Bring your lawn chairs tonight. It's should be a really good show. Mardi Gras brass. I got to ask, do you have, being in the professional entertainment business and being the front man, how often do you have folks come up and throw their underwear and stuff at you?
That hasn't happened. not a lot. And when it does, it
was embarrassing to everybody involved.
It wasn't the size underwear that I was.
All right, well, that's cool. That's I'm glad that it has happened then. Tom Baker is the lead band guitar player for the Mardi Gras Brass. They're playing tonight. Tom, I really appreciate you coming down here and doing this today.
I appreciate you asking me. I've had a ball talking.
We have a lot of fun, and folks, we really urge you to get up there and enjoy the Fun Fest tonight. Enjoy Mardi Gras Brass. They'll be putting on a great show. Tom, thanks again.
Sure thing.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to y'all real soon.